Good morning. All right, we're way too excited to be at church. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo. I'm feeling tired. Anyone else want a nap? Those of you who played broom ball yesterday, you want a nap? We have a church from California Centerpoint that's here hanging out. We got to play broom ball with them last night / this morning at midnight. So half of us are going to work really hard at staying awake. If you note the lesson and what it's called today, that's actually kind of ironic. It wasn't on purpose. But today's message is about staying awake. All right. I'm Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited to start this morning out with you. Normally, we do like a song and dance, but we thought we'd do something a little different today. For those of you that don't know, we had VBS this last week, and it was amazing. Yeah, we can applaud for that. As you can see from the picture, we had 80-some kids packed into C1, and we danced our hearts out, we played games, we did science experiments. It was fantastic. Right, kids? We've got some of them here. Before I let the kids come on, I want to, if you participated in VBS, were a leader in VBS, or helped do decorations or skits or anything, can I just have you stand up? Stand up. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot express how amazing it was to have people volunteer in abundance. It was an amazing week just to spend time together. With that, I'm going to introduce Katie. Hi, Katie. Katie is our Children's Ministries Director, and she's been working like a crazy maniac for the last couple months getting this ready. So if you see her today, hug her, love on her. She did a great job. You'll also notice our God sighting flags all week. Every day, kids got to write where they saw God throughout the week, what thing they saw God in. So if you want to take a look at those later, go for it. At some point, they'll disappear into like my office or something. But with that, we thought instead of just telling you about VBS, we'd share some of it with you. So we're going to invite all children who went to VBS and all leaders, yes, leaders, to come on up. And we're going to do a dance number with you guys. If you guys catch on and you just want to get up and dance with us, go for it. There's also a slideshow that goes with it so you can see some of the fun things we got to do. This is chaos. I'm really close to the edge. I like standing really close to the edge. That would not be good. All right. As they're all coming up, we're going to get ready. Do you guys need to stretch? Because you guys are going to join us, right?
No.
No? Oh. I saw some no's. All right. Guys, fan out. Fan out. I don't want to be in the front. Why am I in the front?
I don't want to be in the front.
Wait, two small ones in the front.
All right. Wow. There's a lot of you guys up here. That's awesome.
Wait, let's go. All
right. Are you guys ready to sing and dance? Sing loud, dance proud. You ready? Let's do it.
Powerful, he stands invincible. I will hold on.
I don't know about you, but there is nothing better than children dancing and worshiping to the fact that our God is powerful. Bye. That was good. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who participated in VBS. And now I'm passing things over to Sean.
Handing them over to Sean. Hey, Katie and Kelsey did a magnificent job this week of helping get this VBS up and running. 80 children, about 40 volunteers.
Yay, y'all!
So that was good stuff. And so on behalf of this group, we wanted to say thank you guys for doing a fantastic job. God bless you. So thank you.
If you are a child and want to go to K2 Club/Club 35, this is now your time to be dismissed and go meet at those back doors. Those back doors right back there. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, volunteers, because every time everything, I was like, oh my gosh, how is this going to happen? God's like, hey, I'm sending you somebody awesome. And then I was like, yay, and they saved the day. So thank you, people, for volunteering and saving the day. We love you.
And Katie has her own brand of energy drinks that are going to be on sale at Winfield's after second service, all right? So you guys did a great job. Hey, my name is John Bosick, one of the pastors here, and want to say thank you for joining us this morning. This past week at VBS was a fantastic experience. And for me, being able to help out, it was humbling and it was eye-opening. And when people say, what was the best part of VBS for me, it was hearing little kids laughing and having a great time. And there was this little guy, his name's Max. Max and I became pretty good friends this week. And that little guy taught me an awful lot about laughter, about joy, and about living life the way it's supposed to be lived. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of talking about how important it is to live a childlike faith. This past week at VBS, I got to live a childlike faith and yelling and laughing and having a great time. So many of you were praying for us. We thank you for doing that very thing. It was an awesome, awesome time. And so thanks again for doing that. There are a number of announcements to go through. And if you're looking at your watch wondering if we're ever going to get out of here, you'll be done around 1 o'clock. Okay? So, but that leads to this, because one of the things that you're wondering right now is how you're going to take care of your nutritional values today. We want to invite you to a pulled pork coleslaw dessert extravaganza that is also known as the Haiti Fundraising Luncheon. We have a team of people going to Haiti again to help build houses and to do some medical care while we're there in Haiti. And so today is a fundraising luncheon for them. It's across campus. Please be there. I promise you this. The food will be delicious. The time around the table will be fantastic. And you're going to help support a great cause of a team going to Haiti to help out there. So that's the first announcement. The second announcement is this, is that we continue FBCS University. This is our last week of classes. And let me give you a quick update on where those classes will be. There's a class on God's view of finances that will meet in E101. Faith and politics, you met in the gallery this last week. You're going to meet over in the chapel this week. And then how to write your story, that was in the Winfields. That's going to be in the gallery this week. So those three classes, those three courses are what we're offering. They go from 6 to 7:30. We invite you to be there. It has been a great summer of learning about a variety of topics and how God wants to use each and every one of us in so many different ways. So we invite you to be there for that. Dinner's at 5:30. Dinner is always fantastic. And we really do have events that don't involve food, but they don't happen that often. A week from Wednesday, on July 29th, we invite you to a block party. Now, most block parties, growing up in the Midwest, block parties happened outside. We don't do block parties in late July outside here in Arizona. So we're having an indoor block party, but it's sort of a different type of a block party. It starts at 6 o'clock over in C1. It is a potluck. Potlucks I absolutely love, depending on the quality of potluck items, but I've eaten many of your foods. That came out really wrongly. I'm starting to struggle. I'm spinning out. It's a potluck. Bring great food. And even if you're not a great cook, still bring food, all right? It'll be a great time. Starts at 6 o'clock over in C1. At 6:45 here, we get to hear from Mark Zeman, who is an incredible pianist and a missionary that our church supports over in Hungary. And he will be here playing a concert from 6:45 to 7:30. It is open to all ages. It will be a great celebration of not only his ministry, but of us sending him out and supporting him as a missionary. So we invite you for that. That's a week from this Wednesday night, all right? The forum meets tonight at 6 o'clock in Winfield. It is a discussion-based service, and I'm not sure what the topic is tonight because we haven't figured that out yet. But don't worry. We will have a great time talking about what it is that God's laid on our hearts, and we invite you for that. And then I know I'm forgetting something else, and now I've remembered it. Winfields is going to summer hours from now until the end of the summer at least. Winfields is now going to be open on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. It's not because we don't want to be open. It's because we don't have enough volunteers to keep it open. If you're interested in being a volunteer at Winfields, please let Roxy Omblade know. Her information is at Winfields. You can let her know that you'd be interested in volunteering there. And we would love to keep Winfields open more often if we had more volunteers. But right now, it's going to be open on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Okay? So I'd like to read this passage, one of the verses from this past week in VBS was found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. It says this: "But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love." That God is the one we worship today. That God is the one who promises to never let us down. That God is the one who gives forgiveness where we need it desperately. Would you join me as I pray? Father, we pray now as we come into this time of worship, we pray that you would speak to each one of us, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to worship you with everything we have. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and help us understand better what it means to be your people, and that our worship would bring joy to you. You are the forgiving God, the one whose love is boundless, the one who takes care of us. And we pray for this group from Centerpoint. We pray that their mission trip continues to go well, and that as they join us this morning in worship, that we would be one body worshiping you. So, Lord, we lift up this to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand up and greet one another, and then we'll sing in just a few moments. Thank you.
guys to take a seat.
Good morning. Again. Hi. I'm Kelsey. I don't know that I said that the last time. Did I say that the last time? Yes, I'm Kelsey. And I'm really excited to be here with you. Someone else introduced themselves, and I liked that. Is that Ben? Hi, Ben. No? Okay. Good morning. I'm Kelsey. Now you know it three times. I'm excited because this morning we're going to continue into Mark. But we're getting to some chapters that start to change pace a little bit. Last week was kind of the start of the change of pace, and John talked about the woman who anointed Jesus and gave of herself, gave in abundance from herself to honor Jesus above all else. And so today we're going to step into the next section of scripture and really look at what Jesus' last 2 days look like. Because Jesus' last 2 days weren't parties. They had dinner together, but it wasn't a joy-filled event. There were no balloons, okay? I don't know what you have at parties. I'm not allowed to have balloons because I have friends that are afraid of balloons. So we don't decorate. We just gave up. But it's not a party. It wasn't a joyous last couple days. It was a stress-filled last couple days. And so we're going to do some things this morning to kind of walk through the passages together. We're going to put ourselves in the rooms with Jesus. We're going to put ourselves in the garden with Jesus. And we're going to experience a little bit of Jesus this morning in a different way. And if you're new, I'm going to do some things that are a little bit different than how we normally do things. And it might make you a little uncomfortable. Keep in mind, this is something new, okay? If you're not new and this also makes you uncomfortable, good. We're supposed to stretch and grow a little bit. But let's go ahead and let's just start with some prayer. God, you are a big God. You are a big God with lots of power, more than we can even fathom. God, you allow things like VBS to happen. You allow things like singing songs and worship to you to happen. God, you allow baptisms, you allow growth, you allow us just to be participants in your kingdom. And God, I ask that we don't take that for granted. Today, as you talk to us, just allow us to step into the footsteps of your Son and experience his last time. In your name we pray. Amen. I should have been ready for that. All right. So was that center point? Okay, before we get into this, we've been doing God sightings all week, and I just want to share some of them. One of them was yesterday morning I got to be here because I wasn't here enough all week because all of our VBS sets are now being moved to a new church, a couple new churches, and they'll go from that church to a new church, and then we got them from another church, and it was the coolest thing to talk with some other people from other churches and just talk about VBS together. Isn't that the point of the church? To work together in tandem, and then to go... We can clap for that. That was cool. And then to go from that in the morning to at night playing broomball, beating center point at broomball. But it was another example of what we can do as a kingdom, not just as a small seed church. So it was just a great day. All right, now I have to somehow get back to the lesson. All right, Mark. So we're going to be in Mark. If you want to open up to Mark chapter 14, we're going to experience some things and we're going to do some things backwards today. So bear with me as we do some of this. We're going to be in Mark 14, starting in verse 32. I encourage you, please, please, please grab an actual Bible and read it. First of all, it's a lot easier to read. Second of all, the more you know an actual Bible, the more you know the Bible. So just grab a hold of those. Make sure I'm not just making things up as we go. So Mark 14. So what has happened is they've had this Passover meal together, and then they introduce communion. We'll come back to that at the end, hence the communion table, okay? And then they're walking, and it's really late, possibly really early in the morning when this meal is over, so they can't go all the way home. So they stay in the area, and they're walking, and on their walk to this place called Gethsemane, Jesus and Peter have a conversation, and it goes something like this. Hey, Peter, you're going to deny knowing me. And Peter's like, nah. And Jesus was like, yep. And Peter's like, nah. If you know the story, he does, but I won't give that away. And so they have this conversation on the road to the garden. So you can only imagine as they get to Gethsemane that there's this tension in the group. Like Jesus seriously just had that conversation with Peter while we're walking in the wee hours of the morning. And he's been talking about how he's going to die in the next couple days. So the atmosphere is tense. There is feelings of anxiety. And so when they get to this garden in the wee hours of the morning, Jesus takes them in and he says this, verse 32, it says, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.' He said to them, 'Stay here and keep watch.'" So we need to talk a little bit about what's happening already, because there's some things that we in our culture don't necessarily understand. So what they're doing is as they're walking into the garden, when they kind of get to the outskirts, he drops off 8 of the 11 disciples. Judas is long gone at this point, okay? 8 of the 11 are hanging out there, okay? And then he takes 3 and he drops them off and he tells them that he's burdened. We'll get to that in a second. And then he goes off a little bit farther to pray. Now, what would happen in military times is when they were getting ready for battle, the main general would bring his army, his specific brigade, and he would line them up, and then he would bring his closest generals, and he would bring them a little bit farther, and then he would put them there to stand guard, and then he would go off and prepare himself mentally for the battle that's about to happen. So in this first section of scripture, we all already understand in the context that Jesus is saying, you gotta get ready. You got to get equipped. Pay attention because something big is about to happen. We're about to fight a really big battle. Get ready. So even just how he sets them up, he's preparing them for something that is bigger than them. And so they're sitting there, and when he's walking with just the 3, he says this. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Now, one of the cool things about Mark that's a little different than the other gospels, Mark likes to point out, okay, Jesus is both God and man, okay? And he acknowledges that in Mark. But one of the things, and I know it's a little complicated, we'll have a whole theology lesson. John can teach it on how that works out, okay? And so it's a little complicated, but Mark likes to really hone in on the fact that Jesus had human feelings and emotions and thoughts, and he experienced flesh in a way that says he gets tired. It wasn't like when Jesus was on earth, he could run marathons, maybe if he trained, but he wasn't equipped for that. Just because he's God doesn't mean his flesh wasn't wearing on him. And so Mark points out right away that he is deeply distressed and troubled. He brings us right into the emotion, into the situation with Jesus, and he says he's distressed and troubled. How many of you, and this is one of those scary polls that you have to be honest, were ever told that stress is a sin? None of you? All right, so those of us from California maybe? Okay. Apparently in California, stress is a sin. I was told my whole life that stress is a sin. Why? Because if I'm stressed, then I'm not trusting God. Okay, let's try this one. How many of you have been told anxiety is a sin? All right, we got a few more of you on that one. Jesus, in this moment, is feeling stressed and anxious, and yet it is not a sin. Let me just put that out there right now. Now, there are times where stress and anxiety become sins, where we start to take control of things on our own, and we allow it to overwhelm our world. And then, yes, we're not necessarily trusting God. But the feeling, the burden that Jesus is carrying, of course, he's feeling stressed and anxious. He's about to walk into a world in the next couple days and die on a cross. Now, let me talk about the cross. The pain that you experience on the cross, the word is excruciating. They created a word to talk about the experience of the cross. Okay, so Jesus is walking in full well knowing what he's getting into. You better be a little stressed. I think that Jesus really is trying to point out that when we care deeply about others, when we care deeply about the church, we get stressed. And that feeling is real. So Jesus is human. To the point where he's so anxious, death would be a relief. I don't know about you, But I've experienced that. And it's not fun. When your marriage is rocky or your kids aren't doing what you want them to do, or you're worried about a job situation to the point where you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it, pondering it, and being sick to your stomach about it. That's what Jesus was experiencing. So he comes and he drops off the eight. And then he walks a little farther, informs them that he's stressed and anxious. I don't know what that would have been like. Hey, Jesus, the one who's going to save us is stressed. Cool. And then Jesus walks a little bit farther, and he tells them to keep watch. Verse 35 says this, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Now, there's something that happens in this passage that I didn't really know, but the common position of prayer in the time would have been this. The common position of power would be hands up, head raised towards heaven, saying, God, your will, I'm here, whatever you need from me. So for Jesus to walk a little bit farther away from his friends and fall to the ground shows you the amount of angst that Jesus is feeling. Shows you the amount of burden that he is carrying to the point where it is crushing him to the ground and he can no longer lift himself up. What I find incredible is that Jesus, who is God, knows that in times of stress and anxiety, he needs to go first and foremost to talk to his Father in heaven. I don't know about you, I forget that piece. I go directly to my disciples and I go, hey, I'm feeling really stressed about this one thing. Can you pray for me? All right, good, let's go. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. His friends were there, and he told them to pray. He told them to be alert, but then he went off alone to spend time with his Father, because if Jesus needs to talk to his Father, then we need to talk to his Father. He is teaching us how, in times of trouble, to step out of the situation and just be with God, because sometimes we just need to be with God. And our friends are there, and they're awesome, but we need to be with God. So like I told you, we're going to do some things that are going to stretch us and make us uncomfortable. But we're going to spend some time with God in silence. Some of you are incredibly uncomfortable with silence. Okay? I don't really care. I care about you. I'm not going to play background music. Why? Because Jesus needed alone time in the quiet to spend with his Father. So do we. If Jesus needs God, we need God. So what I'm going to challenge you to do for the next minute or so, and it will feel really long, just hang out with him. If you've never done this before, just sit and listen to what God's saying. But what I want you to do is find a position that reflects how you're feeling. If you're at the point right now where you're going, I just need to surrender and let him take me and do whatever he needs to do with me, you stand up and you put your hands up without any shame or fear, because you know that's what you and God need. Because this is about you and God. Everyone else is just a little bit ways off. If you need to get to the ground because you are overwhelmed by your emotions, by your fears, by your anxieties, by stress, you get on the ground and you pray. If sitting is where you're at and you just need to be comfortable being held by God, you just sit. So for the next minute, I want you to find a place that reflects you and your relationship with God and just sit and talk to him in silence. At the end, I'll go ahead and pray for us. Go ahead. Father, everything is possible for you. Take our cups, take our burdens. Allow us to be free. But at the end of the day, God, not what we will, but what you will. Amen. I want to encourage you, do that constantly, every day, 6 times a day. I don't care how often, do it, because we need to spend more time with our Father. We need to be listening to his calling. This last week, I spent a lot of time in the car, and I would just sit, and God and I would just talk. And over and over and over, he would put lyrics to songs in my head. I need thee every hour. Over and over. Why? Because when we allow ourselves to step out of our discipleship roles and just spend time with our Father, he speaks. I challenge us as a congregation, let's be a congregation led by prayer. So verse 36, what's interesting is this is the only time in Mark that we actually get to see the prayer occur. It's the only time in Mark that we get to hear Jesus' words to his Father. Every other time, we know it happens, but he doesn't speak those words aloud for us to hear. But here he does, because he's bringing home something for us. Verse 36, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the best prayers we can ever pray in our life. God, you are big. God, you can take away all of our pain. But God, ultimately, what you want for us, not what we want for us. Now, we sang just a minute ago, we said, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, right? Do you remember singing that? We sing those words constantly, but do we mean it? Okay, what is happening is Jesus is full out saying, now he is God, so he has the desire to see us succeed, but he even in his human form says, God, I need to trust you. Why? Because there's this condition in the world. A couple years ago, they did some studies on what was going on in different people groups and different cultures, and they were like, what do people define as success in other people groups? Okay, in some cultures, it's honor. If your kids, when they leave your house, have high honor and high integrity, then you have succeeded as a parent, okay? For some parents in other countries, it was if they can get a good job and be successful and make money and do something with their life, that was seen as success in your kids. In America, the only place that answered this way, the answer was if my kid leaves and is happy, then I've done my job. Now you're going, I don't know if that's true. It's true. I saw the research, it was there. But the reality is, that's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, it's incredibly counterintuitive for us to say, well, your will, not mine, even if that means I'm not happy. Do you think Jesus was looking forward to what was coming next? No, he calls it a cup, a burden on him, and it was stressing him out. And yet he says, not your will, but mine. It's not like he's looking at the cross going, woohoo. He's looking at the cross going, this is going to be painful. This is going to be miserable. This is not going to make me happy. But it is what needs to happen. It's what needs to come to fruition so that people can be brought into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's not about our happiness. It's about the kingdom of God reaching as many people in as many places as possible. And so our wills, we have to bend them to match God's. And because we are human, they won't always line up. Sometimes I want to sleep in, and VBS makes me wake up. I didn't want to do that. And then kids threw up. Worst thing ever. 3. I don't want to talk about it. But there are things that happen that are not fun. They don't make us happy, and our culture likes to be happy. We like to fill with happiness, but it's God's will, not our will, and we have to bend in order to be more and more like him, and that means sometimes missing out on the things we like. Sometimes means moving to places we don't want to be. Sometimes means doing things we don't want to do. For Jesus, he's looking ahead in the next day or so, and he's going, I see the cross. I know where I'm headed. And I'm carrying everyone's sin on my shoulders as I walk into this environment. And he's stressed, and he's anxious, and he's overwhelmed, but his words are clear. God, your will, not mine. If you can take it, take it. And sometimes God does take our burdens. Sometimes God does bring us incredible amounts of joy and happiness, but ultimately that is not the goal. The goal is to be in line with God's will. And that's hard. especially in a culture that says, just be happy. Keep going, verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Dun, dun, dun. Simon, he said to Peter. Simon is his name that he was born with. Peter was the name Jesus gave him to say, hey, you're going to be an awesome leader in the church one day. So it was kind of a slap in the face. It's the first time in Mark that we see his name Simon being used since his name was changed. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Did you notice how long Jesus was talking to his Father in heaven? An hour. We did it for a minute. Could you imagine what could happen if we prayed for an hour? Okay, I'm going to stop. Okay. But keep praying. Keep talking to God. And so he comes back and they're asleep. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get the disciples in this moment. This morning I woke up after being awake playing broomball all night. I get this moment. Why? Because I'm tired and I want to be asleep. They're human, and Jesus goes, I get it. Get up. So then in verse 39, it keeps going. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Verse 40, when he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Have you ever been caught doing the thing you're not supposed to be doing? There are no words. The moment where you know you can't get yourself out of a situation and you just go, yeah, right? I've been there. I was a child of parents once, okay? We've all done it. But they get caught in a moment again, and it wasn't like this was the first time. This was the second time, and they're going, we've got no words. The amount of embarrassment and shame they must have experienced. But the story doesn't end. Verse 41, returning the third time. Jesus goes off and prays multiple, multiple, multiple times for the same thing. And that's okay. Are you still sleeping and resting? And his tone changes right here. He's no longer angry and indignant. At this point, he's going, okay, guys, it's time. Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. What I think is crazy about Jesus, and he does this constantly, is these guys fell asleep on him three times. I'm not going to lie to you. If you fall asleep on me three times, I'm walking away and I'm going to go find some new people. Right? You laugh, but it's true. Three times. And yet Jesus doesn't give up on them. They've become complacent and apathetic. And yet he does not give up on them. He says, get up. It's time. He's no longer angry. He's passionate. Let's go do something together. And he brings the disciples along into his journey. And I think it's fascinating that Jesus can see these guys who fell asleep and yet still choose to use them. Sometimes we fall victim, maybe not to literally falling asleep, but we get lazy in our faith. We get apathetic in how we talk to people. We don't even acknowledge to others that we know Jesus. We live a quiet life that basically looks like you're sleeping. And just in case you were wondering, the word for sleep and the word for dead, according to Jesus, are the same. Are you asleep and dead in your faith? Wake up. I don't care if this is the 15,000th time he's told you to wake up and get moving, but he wants you to join with him. He wants you to get out of the pews and start living it. Get up. Enough. Rise. Because we've got work to do. We start out in the quiet, reflecting with our Father in heaven, acknowledging that, you know what? We need him in order to get to the next place. And we get our hearts in a place where we're in line with God's will, and we've got people surrounding us praying for us. And now it's time to get moving. You have people in your lives that need you to say, enough is enough. Let's get mobilized. You have people in your life that need you to wake up and be alert. You have people in your lives that need to hear your voice. because you are the voice of Jesus Christ, because he chooses to take you along on his journey, but you gotta wake up. I sound a little mean. I'm okay with that. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to make an impact in our worlds. It's time for us to look out these doors and see people that need Jesus. It's time. So what I left out of all this story was right before this story, they went in and they had this Passover meal, and one day we'll talk about the similarities between Passover and communion. Not today. That could be a whole class. That would be fun. Focused. Okay. But we had this whole meal, this Passover meal, and we kind of glanced through it. And then we get to the end of this meal, and he has communion with his disciples. And he says, essentially, I'm about to go and be the Passover lamb for you. I'm about to go and be the sacrifice for you. And so what he does is he tells them, hey, this is my body, this bread. And it would have been Passover bread, different than what we understand. And he said, this is my body that is broken for you as an example of the fact that I'm taking you along on the journey, that I'm bringing you with me. And then he poured out wine and he said, this is my blood, also as a symbol of the fact that I'm bringing you along in the journey and we're going to make a difference in the kingdom together. You're mine. He says, I promise to be faithful to you. So what we're going to do right now is different than we normally do communion. What's going to happen is I'm going to have the people that are doing communion, they're going to be posted throughout the auditorium, sanctuary, whatever you call it. And when you are ready to take it, come on up, find one of them, grab the juice and the bread and hold it for a moment. Get back to your seat and hold the burden that Jesus had to carry for a little bit. And then when you are ready to take it, you take it. But let me be clear, this isn't just, hey, we're taking communion because we're supposed to. This is you saying, I'm ready to get up and be alert and be ready. If you are not ready to be alert, don't take it. That's between you and God. I'm never going to condemn you for being honest about what you're doing right now. But if you feel like you are ready to be part of God's community, be a part of his communion, to be alert and ready and prepared to change the world with him, then during this song, and they're just going to sing it for a little bit, you go and you find a communion station and you take it. So let me go ahead and pray and then I'll let you guys find a place to stand. God, we just thank you. We thank you for your son who walked in a life that was filled with stress and filled with anxiety and filled with fear, and yet he was not timid and he bent his will to your will and ultimately sacrificed himself for us. God, thank you. Thank you that your son obeyed. Thank you that he chooses to use each one of us even when we've become apathetic. God, thank you for giving us a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, chance. God, we give all glory and honor to you. Amen.
Thank you. And here in your love, here in your love.
So Jesus said that night, he said, every time that you take this bread and drink from these cups, may you remember me. So eat and drink and remember what Jesus Christ has done. We now come to a time in the service where we give. And you heard from Kelsey, Christ gave everything that he could give. It wasn't much more that he could give. And there was a time when he said that not my will, but your will be done. And so when it comes to giving, sometimes we have our desires of what we want to do. And yet Christ says, I need you to give. I need you to give to me. And so the ushers are going to come forward and they're going to take the offering. And I need to share with you a story that happened this past week, because Christ continues to use this community of faith in really remarkable ways. And this morning this past week on Tuesday morning, a woman was a victim of domestic violence. She was at the church crying. And we met with her, and Cindy Dudley, our church moderator, and I met with her and talked with her and heard her story, and it was heartbreaking. But she needed help, and we have a relationship here in this community when we have people in crisis that we sort of have a deal with a hotel that's right across the street a little ways, and they know that we do this, and so we have a deal set up with them. And this woman was coming out of that hotel because her boyfriend was doing some unkind things to her. I'll just put it that way. She goes to the lobby in tears and she says, I need help. And what's really cool is that the person looked at her, the receptionist looked at her and said, you need to get to that church across the street right now. Because of what Jesus Christ is doing in this community of faith, because of your giving to Christ, we're able as FBC Scottsdale to minister to people like this woman the other day. And so as you give this morning, may you know that it's our desire as a community of faith to be about his will, not our will to say, wow, we have neat lights and things like that. But that we can be the people that he's called us to be, making an impact in ways that many times we don't realize. So please keep that in mind as you give to the cause of Christ. Father, we pray now as we come to this time of giving, we pray that you would remind us that it isn't giving to a church, we're giving to you, the one who gave your all. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would take these gifts and multiply them for your kingdom's purpose, that great things can happen for Jesus Christ and his glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And to wrap up that story, as the ushers come forward to wrap up that story, we were able to send that woman home to where she can get help and get protected. So thank you so much for giving. On behalf of Christ. Thank you. now come to this time. Last week we had the joy of seeing on video some high school students get baptized at camp, and that was really cool. And we got to see three young men, well, two of them were young, one of them was older, get baptized because of what Jesus Christ has done in their life. And this morning we get to see a child who has known Jesus for a while. Her name's Jasmine. I'll let Kelsey introduce her, but again, we get to celebrate the great gift of baptism.
They told me the water was going to be cold. Nothing's as cold as the beach. Hello, I'm Kelsey. I don't know how else to start. But this last week, Jasmine and I, for Children's Ministries, we have a booklet that if a student is interested, they get to walk through what is faith, what is baptism, why do we do what we do, because it's such a bizarre thing. And so Jasmine, for the last couple months, we've been sitting down and eating gummy bears and talking through this booklet. And this past week, she finished it, and she said it's time, and she's really ready for it. So I'm going to let her come out. Can you guys just applaud as we bring her out here? All right, go ahead and stand on that. All right. Woo, I'm going to fall in. All right, Jasmine and I have talked through a lot of things, and she's come up with her own statement as to why she wants to get baptized. You want to give us that?
Because I want Jesus in my life more.
I like that. There's no better reason. All right, then you're going to repeat after me, okay? Are you ready? I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I publicly commit my life.
And I publicly commit my life.
To follow him.
To follow him.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
All right, because of your confession of faith, repentance from sin, and desire to be obedient, I'm now going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Oh, yeah.
And sing. Oh, would you sit down and sing with us, please? Thank you.
week. It's really cool to start out dancing with children and end dancing with you guys. That's really cool. Some of you. Hi, I'm Kelsey. Now I can never introduce myself again. Thank you guys for worshiping with us today. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we're ready to move. We're ready to mobilize, and we're ready to change our neighborhoods and our workplaces. And we get to do that together. So thank you guys. And remember to stay awake and stay alert this week. Have a great week. God bless.
You don't have what it takes.